Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, you know what? It feels like I haven't talked to you in, like, 15 seconds.
Really? I feel like, yeah, we just did this.
Yeah? Are you having a sense of deja vu right now?
A little bit.
It's almost like people listening at home won't understand a thing we're saying.
I really hope that all the mic issues have worked themselves out now, and I've actually fixed everything the way it's supposed to be, so we should be good to go now. So, again, sorry, chat room, you're going to get the story all over again, but... So basically yesterday, thank you to everyone who was hanging out in Ladies Night because we were successful in raising enough money for me to buy a new streaming rig. Not like new, just new to me. My friend Octane is actually retiring from streaming, so I'm going to be able to purchase his streaming rig. But I didn't have quite enough of my savings to do it, so you guys helped me raise the last little bit. So thank you so much to everyone who's in the stream. It was freaking awesome. It's going to make everything that I do look that much better, including the podcast like The Gamers Inn. So it's not just for the streaming side of things. It's also going to be great for the live podcast side of things. And we've got some new stuff on the horizon in the next couple of weeks. So
cool.
I'm really excited about it. It's going to be really, really good. So thank you, everyone, for being super, super, super supportive.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, and you probably do know, but I'm going to say it anyways because it deserves a plug, and I've been meaning to ask you to do it more often, is that Ladies Night, Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/JoshPlays. I hear you guys have a fantastic time, so fantastic that, like, so much swearing. I would say a majority of the quotes that we see pop up on our game night are from occasionally there's like some one-liner zingers in there that I sneak in there, but it's the ladies that are the true highlight of that quote bot. I gotta tell you, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I think it comes from, I mean, on Ladies Night we drink when we die, we swear a lot, we make not necessarily inappropriate comments, but taken out of context. Like, the thing is, in Heroes there are a lot of things that could be taken weirdly. Like, there's heroes that have, like, that throw bones, and there's like heroes that like use their tongue to pull you towards them, like kind of like a frog sort of a thing. And I'm trying to think of what there's Nova's hero power, which is called Triple Tap. So sometimes Nevermore adds a couple of other words to the end of that. Oh. And as you can see, some of these things, when talking about out of context, could lead to potential misunderstandings.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, don't forget the glowing balls. There's lots of glowy ball bits.
There's a lot of goop involved in Heroes.
There's goop. There's goop.
There's like goop talk. So, am I going to have to tag this episode as explicit? Is that what we're going to
do? No, because this is what I'm saying. We're talking about just Heroes and what they do. Oh. And unfortunately, sometimes that can be taken out of context. And yeah. Apparently it sounds really funny coming out of the mouth of especially Jen, because she is about 4 foot nothing. She's the most like cute little packaged person I've ever seen, and she has this adorable little voice, and so when she starts screaming obscenities, it's just ridiculously awesome.
Okay, so people will have to tune in for that, because it sounds like it's a riot. And Twitch chat, you know, does a little bit of justice in terms of the quotes that pop up, but I think seeing it live, or at least going out and checking out some of those highlights, is definitely worth doing. And I mean, it's super awesome that you've got your streaming rig, and I can't wait to hear more about how all that fun business is going to work, because it's super interesting to me. And I don't know if we've really talked a lot about streaming, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I think that's probably what we're going to do as like the topic of the episode once I actually get the rig here, and I'll like take a bunch of pictures of how I have it set up, and you guys can laugh at my terrible cable management skills because it's actually really, really bad. But so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you got to work on your CMS.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, really hot down here, too, because it's already pretty hot just, like, sitting over my computer with all the big lights I have set up now and stuff, too. Right. So it gets pretty warm anyway, and we're going to add a whole new beefy rig. Like, it is probably, like, twice as powerful as my current computer, and it's going to be dedicated just to streaming. So we're going to be able to stream in, like, full 1080p. It's going to look crisp. It's going to look awesome. When I'm playing games, you're actually going to be able to see, like, the choices that I make and stuff.
Cool.
It's going to be really good. You're going to be able to like read game text and all that kind of stuff. So, awesome. And the great thing is, since my other actual channel, Joss Plays, is partnered, you can actually change the settings. So I've had a couple people say like, oh, but I can't watch really high quality streams because my internet can't handle it, you can just tone down whatever the settings are. So you don't even have to worry about that. So it's going to give those who can watch at a full HD resolution are going to be able to. So I'm really excited because, yeah, like I mentioned, we've got I've got a couple of really cool shows in the works. So once all that stuff is done, then I'm going to be able to put out really high quality video content. So it's like kind of the final missing piece to me actually doing this like full time and seriously. So awesome. I'm really excited.
it's definitely something to be excited about. I'm excited because like I love new technology and I love fancy things that look HD. So like super stoked to hear more about it. And unlike our listeners who are awesome, you guys will have to wait a week. I won't have to because I got the inside scoop. I could just text her.
There you go.
Unless she doesn't respond, which, I mean, sorry. She might want to, you know, hold off and make me wait as well, which would be unfortunate, but.
I'm totally going to do that now.
Damn it.
So, enough of that. Enough talk about streaming and new streaming rigs again. Thank you, everybody, who helped make that possible. But basically, now we're going to go into what we're playing because I haven't been playing too much this week outside of my normal stuff. I blew through Quantum Break. Freaking loved it. And we're not going to talk any more about that because I think we've both actually finished it now. So we're going to do our special, what do we call it? Inside the game. So we're going to do a pilot inside the game episode where we're going to go way totally in depth into Quantum Break. So, but I will say this, I loved it so much in my first playthrough that I started a second playthrough on hard, which I never, ever, ever do. So yeah, it's definitely worth picking up. It's on Xbox One and Windows 10. So it is on Windows, but it's Windows 10. So you have to have Windows 10 to play, which I don't. I have Windows 7. You can upgrade for free, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Quantum Break is great, but not throw away Windows 7 great.
Yes, exactly.
It's go out and buy an Xbox One. Don't upgrade your system.
I would rather buy an Xbox One than upgrade to Windows 10.
I mean, it's sound investment. I mean,
yeah.
Really.
But yeah, so that really took up a lot of my time in the last week was finishing off Quantum Break, playing more of the hard playthrough. What else did I do this week? Oh, I did some raiding. We actually got Manoroth down again with a group of 10. So that was great. So I'm raiding with Furt, and we had a very, really, really small group on Sunday. And so just the 10 of us got him down again, which is really, really, really cool. Obviously I'm playing some Hearthstone. So right now I'm rank 9, which is the highest I've been this early in the season. So I'm really excited about that. I'm making a really good push to Legend because they might potentially be bringing Standard in before the end of this month. And I want to do it at least once before Standard comes. So other than that, I'm going to let you talk about some stuff because I kind of dabbled in a couple of other games. But really, I think the big story for me this week was Quantum Break. So But there's been some other stuff that dropped, and actually I'm really excited to hear because you have Nova Covert Ops down here, and I'm excited to hear what that's like because I haven't seen too much of it except for the announcement trailer at BlizzCon. So I don't actually even know like what Covert Ops is. Is it like more StarCraft 2, or is it like a first person kind of a thing, or just tell me about Nova. Get me excited about Nova.
Tell the fine folks. So I played it as soon as it came out, and it just hasn't really fit into. This was kind of the first week where we just really was like, what are we going to talk about? It's like I played an hour of this, an hour of that, and like Quantum Break has been taking up a lot of my time. But Nova Covert Ops has been one of those experiences that has still lingered in my brain because sometimes when you play something weeks ago, you don't really remember what happened. But I do remember with Nova Covert Ops that when they announced it, I was super excited to hear that Blizzard was continuing story-based content for StarCraft II, because we've talked about this on the show before, worrying that, you know, with Heroes and Hearthstone, that they would be dropping that element of the games they make. And then when they, you know, sort of unveiled Overwatch, it's still not the same. It's extra story content, but the gameplay was primarily, you know, just gameplay. But with Nova Covert Ops, which I'm just going to call Nova because I don't think I'll be able to nail that one more time, is a three-part package that you can buy for $15, and it gives you three missions per pack, and there's three packs. So it's, I think, nine missions in total. And those missions are structured like you would experience in the single player campaign. So there are
intro... So it is like the full-on normal StarCraft II experience.
Exactly, yeah. It is more of that structured content where you're given, you know, an intro video, and then you do the mission, and you finish the mission, you go into... And I didn't really expect this, because I didn't know anything about it. You're totally right. People are not talking about this for some reason. I think it's just because people are so overburdened with Blizzard stuff, you know, with Overwatch coming and Hearthstone getting standard play / WoW play, and Heroes just being a constant foghorn of awesome news. You know, it's just like, you know, don't hit the cove, there's a giant Asmodunk coming this way. I don't know, like, and you know, let's not even look at World of Warcraft, but it's coming soon as well. But this just kind of came out of nowhere, and it's, you know, it's not anything to write home about, but it's more StarCraft II campaign missions, which is awesome.
I still have to go back. I still haven't finished the last like two or three missions because of the giant hard drive crash of 2015. Yeah, I haven't actually gone back again to experience that content, but I really should, because I do really like StarCraft, and it was going in a really cool direction. I know how it all went because we did have a StarCraft II episode, so I went and looked it all up, but I should get back into it because I really like that gameplay. Swexus in the chat room is asking, if you have to have StarCraft II to play the Nova missions, can you just buy the Nova pack?
I'm pretty sure you'd have to have at least, I don't know, like, there's a starter edition to StarCraft. That's a good question. From someone who kind of owns all of the StarCrafts, it was never an issue for me, but I'm pretty sure you have to have at least one of the StarCrafts, like one of the expansions. And frankly, like, you could like, that's the thing though, like, you could probably play Nova Covert Ops and not have played Legacy of the Void or Heart of the Swarm, because
so it's like it's tied to them but not, like, it's just her story, or
it's her story.
In the trailer I remember seeing I think his name might be Matt, but he's like the Admiral guy. And so if he's the Admiral guy and the guy in power is Manx's son, then clearly you have to have gone through at least up to Heart of the Swarm.
And that's the thing, and why I mentioned the later two. The first expansion would be helpful to play through because you are seeing characters that they don't really give any sort of introduction to. You get to hang out with Madhorn on the Hyperion and the dwarf guy. Well, he's not a dwarf, but he looks like a dwarf and he sounds like a dwarf. He's a Blizzard dwarf.
He's like the little guy that like does all the like upgrades of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That guy? Yeah. I don't know what his actual name is.
I can't remember his name either. I'm so bad with names of characters. I'm so bad with names in general. I shouldn't say characters as if it's like confined to just video games. I'm bad with names in general. I can meet somebody 10 times and still be like,
your name. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I have to read the intro every week. I'm just like, who the hell am I podcasting with? Like, who is this guy?
Oh, that's not true. It's a bunch of words that are written down and been written down for years. And it's just, to memorize them would be too hard. And I'm just, I quickly Googled while we were talking. It requires the starter edition.
Okay.
Which is free. So if you get the starter edition, that is free for you. So you can technically go out and buy the Nova missions and play without owning StarCraft II, but you would have to go in to the Battle.net store and download the starter edition. So not that difficult.
Right. So you need the base game, which makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I lied. It's $15 for three packs, but it is, if you want to buy a pack by pack, which, why would you do that? It's $7.50, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be honest, It's a cool experience because you're getting to play as these characters again. You're getting to experience more StarCraft II. It takes place after the events of the trilogy of StarCraft II. So it exists outside of what was happening in StarCraft II, which is nice because most companies that build post-game content like to kind of shoehorn it in so they don't have to address the ending. And this kind of just does it afterwards, and it addresses it in the sense that some characters are around and some aren't, but it doesn't fully go into like, oh, here's how everything works after all that shit happened.
Right.
It just sort of exists, which is nice. And the mission structure is different. You're playing these missions that are different from what you might have played in the trilogy of StarCraft games, because you're playing as Nova, and Nova being a stealth person, the first mission is a lot of stealth, and you're running mm-hmm. around sort of literally like Metal Gear Soliding people and like using CQC to take them down, right? It's neat, and it's
I wonder if that would make me a better Nova Heroes player.
Well, exactly. See, that's what it feels like. It's not as advanced as Heroes of the Storm, where as Nova, there's more mechanics there. But in this, it feels a lot like that, where you are playing as a hero character. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that in between missions, you were given that same metagame of upgrading equipment that you find in the levels. I was really surprised to see that, because I was sort of just expecting, you know, a cutscene between each and a mission. But there's a lot of content there, and mm-hmm. not the amount of content that you would think would be in a post-game DLC. So, I don't know. Blizzard's doing it right. I think it's worth checking out. It's not anything to write home about, but it's certainly worth checking out if you enjoy StarCraft and you want more in that universe. I just worry how long it's going to take them to actually complete this, because if you go to their website, it actually says all packs will be out by December 1st, 2016. Which is not too comforting, considering, you know, that we got the announcement and said the first episode would launch in spring. I mean, we won't know kind of the pacing until the second one gets announced, but mm-hmm. I'm just a little worried, because it's an interesting story. You know, you play as Nova, she wakes up in a facility, you don't know what's going on, and this is all in the trailer, and it goes from there, and the story unfolds, and it's just really interesting, but I'm worried that I won't be able to experience the other parts of the story for quite some time, which, mm-hmm. You know,
damn sucks. Episodic crap.
I know. And, you know, Telltale has just started to sort of figure out the bare minimum the bare maximum that they can release between episodes. And they've started playing with that. And I think Blizzard's sort of applying it's done when it's done to this stuff. And I don't think that plays well with episodic content of this nature, you know, being small chunks, whereas at mm-hmm. least in StarCraft 2, those expansions, you were getting full stories, right? In this, you're getting one third of a story, so it can be a little more unfortunate when you finish mm-hmm. it and realize you're not going to be able to play more of it for 4 months, if you do the math.
Well, there's three there's three missions, right?
Yes, there are three missions, yeah, which are pretty beefy, you know. Yeah. All of them kind of have two parts to them, two different phases. So each mission, mm-hmm. while it is one mission, you're doing two different things, where you sort of like levels within the mission, where mm-hmm. you get to a point in your goal, and then you're like, all right, you accomplished that. Now we need you to go into this building, do something else.
Right.
So I was, again, pleasantly surprised, because I was going in not really expecting anything too crazy good, because no one was talking about it. I even mentioned it in our Discord, like, hey, anybody playing Nova Covert Ops? There, I screwed it up. Anyone playing Nova? It's like, no, I didn't even know that was out. And I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah. Well, if I've learned anything from covering Blizzard games mm-hmm. very intensely over the last couple of years, they tend to say basically whatever the furthest out date is going to be. Like, they want it to be good. They want it to be done. So they'll say, like, we can probably get it done by October, but we'd rather say December, because then we've got a big buffer. And if we then say, oh, hey, what do you know? The final part's actually out in October. Yeah. Everyone's excited instead of disappointed. They do that with Hearthstone all the time, where they're just kind of like, well, we could tell you that we'll have it to you by the 10th. But then if it takes us an extra week because of balance things, then nobody's angry. So yeah, they tend to say they're going to do it like way late, and then say, oh, well, actually, it's going to be this date. So hopefully we won't have to wait. Like, that's the whole on or before such and such a date. So hopefully we won't actually have to wait all the way until December. But yeah, I'm going to jump into this, because I need to do more StarCraft 2. I need to finish it, and then I need to do the whole Nova thing. I need to just get over the whole, like, oh, my God, StarCraft 2 totally crashed my hard drive. Like,
it's
just need to move past. Like, it won't happen again, right, guys? Like, it won't.
Maybe wait for your new rig. What are the chances? There you go. Wait for the new rig, and then hopefully that will treat it with the respect StarCraft 2 deserves. But, you know, it's worth checking out. It's a lot of fun, and it's just awesome to be back in that, like, Firefly Western music scenario, and you do get back to that in this, and it's been so long since we've played Wings of Liberty, which, you know, Stroker in the chat room is saying, like, yeah, it's, like, not as bad as the spacing between those three expansions, but... I want more of it. And as soon as I finish it, I'm like, well, shit, I guess I'll go play Heroes and, you know, triple tap some fools. I don't do that. I never. So what else can we talk about besides Nova? I don't.
Okay. So normally those of you who watch the podcast a lot know that Ryan is the big Nintendo fanboy who normally brings all the kind of weird out there, and as we have now coined the term, super Japanese titles to the Gamers Inn. So this week, actually it just came out today, I'm the one who's bringing a super Japanese title to the Gamers Inn. So
what are you doing?
Today, there is a mobile game that just launched called Sailor Moon Drops, and it is so Japanese that it doesn't even have English audio. Like, what? It's all subtitled, and it is literally like a match 3 game, but you progress through like the Sailor Moon story. So for me, I growing up, like, this has like huge nostalgia points for me, because growing up, I was a huge Sailor Moon fan. I love that whole franchise. It's like the only anime stuff I ever really got into, and it's not even like that anime. It's like whitewashed anime.
Can you say that?
I don't know. Why couldn't I say that? It's very westernized. Is that better?
That's probably the better way to say it. And I'm looking at this, and Jocelyn, I'm gonna have to get, like, you know, confirmation from the chat room, but this looks way more Japanese than anything I've ever brought to the table. Like, look at this. They're not even from the anime. They're like cutitized. They're like, they look like little plastic figures.
They're like those little like chibi versions. They're adorable.
Would it be weird if I played this? I think it, maybe.
No,
I watched Sailor Moon, like, when I was a kid, didn't I? I think
gameplay wise, it is super duper. Like, it's yeah, just like Bejeweled, or I guess probably Candy Crush. I've never actually played Candy Crush, but it's like, it's a match 3 game. Like, it's very, very basic. But it is just so Sailor Moon and so super Japanese, because, like, there's, like, stuff happening all the time that I don't even know what I did to do it. Like, at the end of, like, the first level, I guess I did really, really well, because Sailor Moon's cat Luna just, like, did a somersault across the screen. It was like, Luna bonus! And then there was, like, exploding stars everywhere, and I got, like, double the points, and I was like, ha-ha!
So
it was so good.
I have to ask, like, how much gems did you buy? Look at this.
There are in-app purchases. I haven't bought anything, but...
So guess what they call the highest amount of gems. Just guess.
What is the highest amount of gems, right?
It is a moon chalice of gems. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, everything is pretty much moon something.
Well, what about a stallion rev? Reeve? Treasure chest. What? That's not Japanese. That's normal. Oh.
That's normal.
I'm just trying to, you know, spread out the amount of terrible things we're saying among the two of us. That's why we both do the show, right? Just so it's like equal opportunity offending. This looks even more Japanese than the show that Val tried, or the game that Val tried to get us to play at our Nerdtacular episode.
Yep,
I kind of want to download it and see what it sounds like.
It's super fun.
Okay.
And if you ever watched Sailor Moon, like, you will really like it.
I think it was on after Digimon before I went to school when I was a kid. So
I was going to say, I think, and Press A to Podcast in the chat room said they used to watch it before Power Rangers. And I think that's what it was. Oh. I used to watch, like, Sailor Moon and then Power Rangers. It was, thing.
Yeah. It was one of those, like...
Hashtag 80s kids.
Yeah. Early 90s. Cool stuff.
But yeah, so it's really fun, and I don't often get into mobile games, but honestly, like, I've been super tryhard in Hearthstone this month, and I am really excited to have something that I can just, like, sit down and screw around with, and it doesn't matter. Like, there is no multiplayer, there's no pressure. It's just like, you have to get X number of points in X number of moves, and then you beat the level, and then you get more cute little Japanese Sailor Moon story. Like, it's Jocelyn's, like, cutesy, sparkly, happy place right now.
And that's the thing, too, like, about free-to-play mobile games. I think I, like, live quit all my mobile games, like, on the show and, like, deleted them off my phone. But I've kind of, like, I don't know, relapsed and gone back to a couple. Like, I played that new Clash of Clans one, which is, like, a tower offense game. And it's just nice to jump in, play a few rounds, and then if you want to stop playing, you just delete it and move on. There's always a new one coming out. And I don't really put money into them. I just sort of, like, it's a distraction. And sometimes you just want that, like, junk food for games, right? You don't want to think, oh, what game do I want to invest in? Nah, I'm just going to, like, chow down on this Sailor Moon game.
Well, exactly. And it's free, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has in-app purchases like they all do now, but who does it's that? Fully free, so you can just go in and experience the Sailor Moon fun. It's adorable. I loved it. Yeah. it's my guilty pleasure game. Don't judge me.
No one's judging.
So I played something else this week. I didn't get into it very, very much because it was actually recommended to me through the Gamers in Discord, which if you guys actually aren't in that Discord channel, you totally should be because there's a really good group of people in there. Lots of gamers looking to play stuff with other people. Lots of good suggestions. Lots of good discussion. So
there's exclusive Caden photos in there, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you can see all of Ryan's baby photos, which he's adorable. But he's super. Yeah, you guys should definitely get in on the Gamers in Discord channel because it's super, super fun. So this was suggested to me. I believe it was L-Train. I don't actually have Discord open right now. But
it was L-Train.
I think it was L-Train who said I should check out Stories, The Path of Destinies. And basically what I was asking for was Quantum Break because I loved it so much, but in a fantasy setting, not a sci-fi setting because I prefer fantasy in games. Not that sci-fi is bad, obviously, but I tend to gravitate more towards fantasy type plots and characters and stuff like that. So
sci-fi is cool, though.
Yes, sci-fi is very cool.
Cancel your emails now because that's how emails work. Hit that cancel button.
Yep. So this Stories Path of Destinies game is it's really fun. I'm enjoying the combat. It reminds me a lot of Batman. It's like you have the whole counter mechanic. So you basically the combat is more fun the more enemies you're facing. So it's almost like I just go and like spawn all the enemies and then like feel super badass when I'm kicking all their asses. It's so good.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So it's you're a fox, right? Like that's how it works?
Yes. So all of the characters are different like animals. So there's like the evil emperor guy is a frog. All of his minions are ravens. You're a fox. You have like a little kid brother who's a rabbit. And actually your best friend's a rabbit too. But yeah, so It kind of hits you right in the gut with something right at the very beginning, so I'm not going to spoil that, but it kind of, like, drives the story. And I will say the introduction is a little bit kind of weird. It's one of those games where it's just, like, they try to tell you everything but don't succeed in the first, like, 5 minutes. There's, like, they're like, oh, there's this guy and this guy and this guy and this thing and this thing, and then there's, like, oh, I mentioned this guy and these gods and this world, and it's, like, they throw too much at you without letting you discover it on your own. So then it just kind of becomes convoluted and weird. But if you just kind of power through that and almost ignore the story in the first 5 minutes,
okay,
it's actually way better.
It looks amazing. Like the it's funny you mentioned this because I actually got my hands on it, but I haven't had a chance to try it yet. So I'm looking forward to next week when I can, you know, talk about it in more informed opinion. But I'm looking at these screenshots and stuff, and you mentioned the Batman combat, which, I mean, I have zero issues when people lift that combat system because it's one of the best fighting systems out there. So
it's so good. It's like I can be totally just like beating up on a dude with my sword, and then there's like a little, oh, that guy's going to attack, and then you just have to go counter, and you're like, shabam, boom, and he's dead. It's so good.
So
it's so satisfying.
It looks really interesting. So PS4, PC, you're playing on PS4?
PC, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
I grabbed it on Steam. It was like $15.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I have it on PS4.
It's being Canadian, which means it's pretty much free for Americans, right?
Yeah, that's how that works. Yeah. The exchange rate is literally, if it's less than $15, you get it for free in the States. So convoluted story. So you're not too far in then. You just got like a couple hours.
I played it. I think the recommendation came through at like, I don't know, 4:35 o'clock. So I literally like downloaded it and started playing right away. So I think I played for maybe like an hour. But it's fun, and it's cool. Got this really cool story mechanic where it's like, after that first introduction, then there's a choice. And that's what kind of reminded me of Quantum Break, is like, you have to make a choice. And once you make that choice, you can't go back and do the other thing. So it says like, you're leading the rebels against the Emperor. And this is totally not Star Wars, I promise. But do you choose to A, go do this thing, or B, go do this thing? And then once you play through that chapter, you get to the next one, and then there's another choice. Do you play through this, or do you play through this? And it's like, well, you can still kind of do the first thing, but it's not going to be as effective because now you're not going to be able to blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like over time, like changes the way the story works and what you can and can't do. And some things just become completely unavailable to you. And it's definitely it's not kiddie.
Okay.
Like there are some decisions that you could make. It's kind of like, it's got like a fantasy sheen over it, mm-hmm. but it's not like dumbed down and childish, I guess. Like, there's like characters die. Like if you don't do stuff, they just die. And there's these like little forest creatures that are then just gone.
Oh my God. Save the forest creatures.
And it's like, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, in other games, they'll be like imprisoned, or, you know, like they're just sleeping. There's none of that. It's like, they're full on dead.
Yeah. Their head is over
and
there.
The game doesn't pull any punches, but like, yeah. But it does have kind of a sense of humor where it's just like, oh, well, you know, I think at one point it was like, oh, a chill ran down his spine, or maybe that was a flea, you know, like, so it's really like there is that kind of sense of humor to it as well. But it's definitely not like a kiddie game. So
is there voiceover?
I like it.
For is there voiceover?
There's a narrator.
For the characters? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he kind of like, he does voices for the characters. Like your rabbit friend is like Irish, so he puts on like an Irish voice for the rabbit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's definitely a narrator type of a character. It's not like you don't talk. It's very Bastion-y. Thank you, Stroka.
That sounds like a ring. I gotta check this. Okay, so I kind of regret now. Like I played a little. I ate dinner, which. Who does that? And I checked out a little bit of Ratchet and Clank, but I should have checked this out because it sounds really cool. Like just the narration alone, because I love that aspect of Bastion and the fact that he. So it sounds like he does like the audiobook version of the show of the game where he changes his voice for every character.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's really cool. It is really cool. So you should definitely check it out. It was described to me as a cross between The Princess Bride mm-hmm. and Ocarina of Time. So in terms of like the story and the feel. So if you like those things and if you like Bastion, then you will probably really like this. And like I said, it's like it was around $15 on Steam. So and that's Canadian. So it's probably cheaper if you're down in the States. So definitely check it out. But you mentioned you got your hands on Ratchet and Clank, which came out yesterday?
Yeah, it came out yesterday. And I don't know, like the first question when I was thinking about how to talk about this game, I was curious because I always wonder with these long-standing franchises, and you being new to the PlayStation, almost as new as me, to the PlayStation sort of, like, genre of games. Have you ever played any of the Ratchet & Clank games?
No.
Okay, so
PlayStation, the 4 is my first PlayStation, so.
Yeah, and I think I jumped in a generation before, so I missed, like, half of Ratchet & Clank. And the really unfortunate thing about some of these long-standing franchises is kind of, you know, jumping in when they're half started. You don't know who these characters are.
And yeah.
You know, they don't want to spend time telling you who they are. It's just like, this is Captain Quark. He's green. He talks funny. He sounds like that guy at Sex and the City. You'll understand. And that's sometimes unfortunate, but they're coming out with a Ratchet and Clank movie at the end of the month. And what they've done is they've made a game based on the movie that's based on the game franchise. And that.
So it's like the Lego movie, the video game?
Exactly. But not terrible. It's really good. And that's the thing, like with that genre, with that sort of thinking, you'd think, oh, that sounds like it would be bad. And no, it's actually a really good video game movie. I mean, it's not the best Ratchet and Clank game, but it's the best one you can play right now. I think the future franchise that came out on PS3 is definitely like probably the best Nintendo game to ever come out not on a Nintendo platform. Like it's that type of game, you know, that whimsy, the cartoonish look to it, the silliness, but the seriousness when it needs to be. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the best Nintendo game I've ever played, you know, that's not made by Nintendo. And it doesn't take itself seriously. It's just funny. And it looks amazing. It's like playing a Pixar movie, really, is the best way. Is how a lot of people describe it, actually.
Okay.
And this reboot is sort of, in how it is a movie, it's based on the movie, is that it has like movie clips sort of strewn throughout it. And you kind of notice that when it switches from animation to this wonderful CG, which is a little jarring. In comparison to past games in the franchise, it's always looked amazing and they've done a great job with the cutscenes. But in this one, it kind of feels like they missed, and this is the only negative I could think of it, they kind of missed the transition from gameplay to cutscene to movie clip. Mm-hmm. And it can be kind of jarring. You notice it like pretty closely, actually. And that's unfortunate. But other than that, the game is just straight up awesome Ratchet and Clank goodness. And for those people who haven't played it, you play as Ratchet, and Clank is this robot on your back, and he does some cool super things, including talk with a fake British accent, and you're this weird fox-looking dude, so keeping with the theme, he's yep. a fox, kind of, but he's actually a Lombax, which is, I don't know, let's just call him a fox. And you go around, you got this giant wrench, and you basically, it's like a platformer. You run around and you destroy boxes and you destroy enemies with your wrench. And there's these really wacky weapons that you collect. So you start out with like just a standard gun that shoots things. But then down the road, you get like a bomb that's basically a disco ball, and it makes everybody dance. And then you can shoot them while they're dancing. It's pretty fantastic.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's just, and that's the thing.
I mean, fun for you, not really fun for the dancers, but.
No, they they die horribly, and they don't like cardio, so it's like two times as bad for them. Not for you, but for them. And that's, Lawnbax, Press A to Podcast is saying, sorry. My Ratchet and Clank lore is off. It's been a while. but no, I'm really enjoying it, and for those who haven't tried it, it's kind of the best time to jump in, because they've sort of taken the whole franchise, reset it. It's actually heralded as a remake of the first game, but they've thrown everything out and just started from scratch. So it's basically a new game, reintroduces you to all the old characters, and kind of gets you prepared for this movie coming out. And it's a budget title. So it's $50 here in Canada. So it's like, what was the math? It's probably like 40 in America, in the States, I think. So it's totally worth jumping in there, and I'm not too far in, but so far the gameplay is just really good Ratchet and Clank, and the PS4 just really screams with the graphics for Ratchet and Clank. It just looks amazing. It does literally feel now like you're in a CG cartoon, and Swexis is confirming it's $40 in the States, which is a steal for this type of game. They don't make them like this anymore. Like, you don't find... It's going to be a similar conversation when we talk about Quantum Break. They don't really make the games like that anymore. So if you're looking for an old-school platformer to kind of try and play around... And that's why I suggested it, even though it was sci-fi. Jocelyn, I know it's hard, but... it's and that's the thing. It's totally, like, not... It's not like serious sci-fi. It's goofy sci-fi. So there's spaceships, but there's also like wisecracking aliens. It's very comedic. It's funny, actually. It's one of the few games that make me laugh. So it's got that going for it as well.
That's good. I'm not a huge lover of just generally like platformers. I tend to get a little bit bored of them kind of quickly. So. But yeah, I might take a look at it. I might borrow your copy when you're done. Oh no, wait, you probably got it digitally.
I did get it digitally. But the thing
Lame.
Is, like, I know. you know what you could do? I think Kearney likes Ratchet and Clank. Tell him there's a new Ratchet and Clank game, and then do it that way. Because that's how it works. No, but seriously, check it out. I think the trailer for the game on the PlayStation Network kind of gives you a good idea of whether you'll like it or not. And to be honest, like, there's not a whole lot of platforming. There's more just shooting. It's more of a third-person strafe and shoot. But that being said, like, the trailer gives you a good idea of whether it's something you'll enjoy. And, I mean, personally, if you've never played any of the games in this series, this is a good place to jump in if you've ever been curious about Ratchet & Clank.
Cool. Maybe I will give it a try then. Mm-hmm. You know what? You guys should all give a try. You mm-hmm. should try out Black Desert Online. So this episode of The Gamers Inn is brought to you by the BDO guild called Knights Templar, who are actively recruiting right now. Their server is Owen Balinos 2, which we learned last week is the main server and then the channel. So the main server is Orwin, and then the channel is Balinos 2. So if you guys are looking to join up, that's where you can find them. They're made up of fun, active players that focus on teamwork, and they are all over the place, from the US all the way over to Australia. So it's always easy to find other people to play with. So you should definitely go and check out KnightsTemplarGuild.com, who have a super, super pro website. So all the information can be found over there if you guys want to head over and check it out. Ryan, have you had a chance yet to check out?
Okay, I'm making online? A pact right now, by next week. If I haven't tried it, Jocelyn's allowed to replace me with a guest on the show. Because if I'm not back to talk about BDO, then show me the door. Go. You got 1 hour, and then you can edit the show after we're done. No, but seriously, I keep forgetting. It's a game I've tried prior to you know,
launch. You played it in beta, right?
Yeah, I played it in beta, and again, beta is not the best way to get an idea of how a game operates, and I prefer to jump into MMOs once they've sort of had some time to, you know, function. So I'm looking forward to jumping in, and I'll report back. We actually gave a 7-day code out to someone else. I should follow up with them and see if they enjoyed the game. But I will be joining Orwin Balinos 2. Make some room, folks. Coming over.
So this week, we don't actually have news or topic of the week. There wasn't really too much to talk about. There is an Overwatch beta stress test weekend coming out. DreamHack Montreal was announced, so there's going to be a DreamHack in Montreal in August. I will be attending. I can't freaking wait. I've never actually been to Montreal, so it's going to be super fun. It's going to be kind of a dual thing. I'm going to get to see Montreal, and I'm going to get to go to DreamHack. I'm actually going to try to, if I can get a seat, participate in, I'm assuming, what will be a Hearthstone Open tournament. So I'm really excited about DreamHack. Wow. It's going to be freaking awesome. Oh yeah, I'm telling you, dude, I'm going super hardcore into Hearthstone. You don't even know.
This is great. So you're going to be up on the I'm looking at this now. I'm looking at DreamHack Montreal. It looks like the biggest LAN party you could ever imagine.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So, I'm super stoked. So it's like, it's literally like 2 weeks after CreateCon. So I'm just going to be all over the place all summer. It's going to be amazing. But yeah, so there isn't really any like big, huge news. There was some stuff about Fable. Basically, anyone who purchased Fable Legends or had made any in-game purchases is getting refunds, but that's not really huge news. It's just like, yay, sad money news. Back. Yeah. So actually we're just going to take some chat room / Discord questions. So if you guys have anything that you want us to talk about, we've got probably about 15 minutes or so left in the show. So, sure. Yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about or ask us about, ready, set, go.
So while we're waiting, I want to touch on this, the stress test is coming in, because that's like my cue. Like, that's me getting back in to the Overwatch beta and then possibly sticking around, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Cause I think the last time they had a stress test, they took the beta down for a bit afterwards.
Yeah. So the beta was down for a long time. There was quite an Overwatch drought.
Yeah. Now, and that being said, like, if you purchase the game, even if you don't purchase the game, they have an open beta starting like 3 weeks after that. But I'm looking forward to trying.
I think you have to purchase the game. I don't think it's actually open. Yeah, I think the beta opens on May 3rd for everyone who's purchased the game.
Oh, but it says open beta May 5th. Maybe whatever. I'm going to buy the game either way.
May 3rd, May 5th. Anyways, I'm 99% sure that you have to purchase the game. Because, I mean, really, the whole idea of the beta is to do all the testing. They've kind of done that. It's not going to be a free-to-play game, so they're probably going to wipe it before they open it. And then why would they take up server space with people who aren't actually going to purchase their game?
So it says here the open beta is for anybody. So you don't have to buy the game.
Oh, it is? Oh,
but
okay.
But it's only from May 5th to the 9th. So it is still like
a limited time. So it's really, really limited. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, Stroken in the chat room saying too, if you pre-purchase, you get in 2 days earlier. Okay. So that's why I thought it was May 3rd. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. But no, the open beta is open, but it's very, very short.
They're kicking you off at 9. Yeah. Like you're on the 9th, you're like, oh man, my rent's paid. Why are you kicking me out? It's like, too bad. It's not an open beta anymore. Get out. but no, I want to try the weekly brawl and, you know, the new stuff they've added since like mm-hmm. November when the last time Blizzard let me in.
Blizzard. Well, I've been having a lot of fun. We did drinking and swearing with Jules on Friday, which is very similar to Ladies Night, but is with the Convert to Raid crew. So they pick a game every week and then we drink a lot and we swear. And it's fun.
Seems to be.
We did Overwatch this last week and it was great.
Yeah, it seems to be a theme. Like as long as you're playing Blizzard games and you're enjoying yourself, like that's all that matters. And yeah. I think that once I get access to Overwatch, you know, maybe I will, you know, start to have fun in Blizzard games and amuse myself. But no, I'm
so you bitter. Did say you did pre-purchase Overwatch?
I'm going to. I haven't yet. I'm ever so close. I know that, you know, the funny thing is I know that Overwatch is going to be like that next game that gets brought up every time we do game night, you know, like, oh, we should play Overwatch or Smite or Heroes. And I, you know, obviously want to take part. And I played, I think, 2 matches of Overwatch and I was hooked. You know, I knew I wanted to play more of it. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing if I get into the beta this weekend, because I do want to play. I want to play it again because it's been so long. And I think there's heroes mm-hmm. that they added that weren't in it before. I may be mistaken.
There are a few. I think May was definitely mm-hmm. one of the ones added partway through. Possibly Genji. I'm trying to remember. They're now at their full complement of heroes. Cool. This is all we're going to get for what they've said so far. It's not going to be like Heroes of the Storm where they're updating every, you know, few weeks.
Yeah.
It's definitely, yeah, they're like, this is our set. We don't know how we're giving out heroes in the future, but this is your cast of characters, essentially. So
I am looking forward most to trying like the cosmetic stuff, like that system that was not in before when I played. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it. But Barbara in the chat room asked, did we talk about the WoW vanilla private server shutting down? I don't think we talked about that.
No, we didn't. They talked about it, I think, on the instance maybe a week and a half ago or so. So basically, there was a private server that was running vanilla Warcraft. And as far as I know, were they charging anyone who played on there to play?
I don't think so. I don't remember that being mentioned, but it may have been, if they were charging, it may have been just to cover like maintenance costs.
Server costs or whatever.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm just looking up now.
Yeah, so basically they got a essentially cease and desist order from Blizzard, and they basically said, you know, stop or we'll sue you. And they mm-hmm. said, okay, well, then we're just going to shut it down because obviously we can't go toe-to-toe with Blizzard. And realistically, it's Blizzard's property. So, yeah. I mean, but they were saying, I think they had about 100,000 users on the server. And there are tons and tons and tons of people that run iterations, especially of Vanilla WoW. For some reason, people are gluttons for punishment and don't like all of the, quality of life upgrades that they've made to Warcraft over the years. So some people like to play just straight up Vanilla WoW. So there are tons and tons of private servers out there. The problem, I think, with this specific one is it got too big and it got noticed. So
yeah, one major point that I do want to reiterate that's been mentioned constantly, because if you go to their website, you can actually see all the places that talked about it, which is convenient. And then maybe I'll write them in and say, you can add a little Gamers In logo now. That's great. It's something that Blizzard could do and charge for and say like, hey, you want access to our legacy server? Extra $5 a month and you can play like you're being punished 12 years ago. and you know, that's, you know, it's no skin off of Blizzard's back, but I know that Blizzard wants us to focus on the new stuff, but sometimes that nostalgia, like I think Blizzard's one of those companies that has such a vast backlog that doesn't tap into the nostalgia. And I know some people might like that and some people might dislike that, but if you look at what Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, and other bigger publishers are doing, they're using their backlog to make more money off of games that have been out of print, sold out for years, if not decades. And this is something Blizzard could do. Like they could have like, okay, here's our vanilla server. you know, and I think that's pretty much the only one people would want. Do you think people would want like a Burning Crusade server?
No.
Or probably a Wrath of the Lich King server. Like, imagine if you could do.
Oh yeah, I think they're. You know, I think they could make a vanilla server and probably a Wrath server, because I think a lot of people said that they really, really enjoyed Wrath. Most people that I know don't ever want to see Burning Crusade ever, ever again. So
it was great for its time, but does not hold up.
Yeah,
and I really think that when you look at this stuff, it's just the community servicing the community when Blizzard's not stepping up, and the only thing Blizzard can do is shut it down. And it'd be interesting to look at the numbers, like if they polled their community that are using this private server to see how many of them actually pay for WoW access. You'd probably find a good majority of them do. Of course, there's going to be those sticklers that are like, ah, you know, I'm just playing because this is how I play. But I remember vanilla WoW, and you know, it's at that point where it is nostalgia, where it's like, man, I remember like 10 years ago, like going to Goldshire and hating it, and then Hawker killing me and hating it, and then getting to Westland and being like, okay, this is awesome. I'm starting to dig
Westfall.
Westfall. What? Westland. See? I would know this if Blizzard let me play it again.
You know? You can play it again. You can start a tune right now at level one.
Didn't they like wipe that off with Cataclysm? Isn't that gone? It's different though, Jocelyn.
It is different. Yes, it is different.
It's not the same.
I think. I don't know. And so this is where our experiences differ, because I didn't come into Warcraft until post-Cataclysm. I started right before Mists of Pandaria dropped. So I don't actually have any of this vanilla WoW nostalgia. Like, all I think is, like, apparently at some point you had to, like, find and or craft arrows as a hunter, and you know, like, you didn't get XP for so many things that you get XP in now, and there wasn't a big squish, so it would actually take you months and months and months to level up a character. I don't have that kind of time.
No, neither do I. And
or
I mean,
like, interest, I guess, in playing a game like that.
But that's just it. It's like that sort of service wouldn't apply, like, it would apply for you in terms of curiosity, and it sounds like you wouldn't be curious, because again, it's a time
sink. I might be a little bit, I guess. I don't necessarily understand why people kind of think that vanilla was so great. I'm wondering if, because it was 10 years ago, in the context of it being 10 years ago, I'm sure Warcraft was a super awesome, amazing game. Obviously, there are literally millions of people that play it, so it must have been amazing. Well, but I don't know, in the context of today, like, I'm thinking maybe there's a little bit of, like, a rose-colored glasses thing going on here, where, like, you're looking back on it and going, like, oh, vanilla WoW! When really it's, like, if we hadn't had Warcraft for the last 10 years and vanilla WoW launched now, we'd probably be like, WTF is this?
Well, that's just it. It's a product of its time. And I guess the best example I can make, it's probably a terrible example, I'm going to say it anyway. Like, imagine if Ocarina of Time, like, you couldn't play it anymore. And the only one you could play was the one they re-released on 3DS. But you want to play it on your N64 for nostalgia reasons, like you did 20 odd years ago. Was it 20 years ago? I think it was 20 years ago. Like, I don't know. Is that even a good example? Probably not. But
I don't know. Because I think the difference there is that Ocarina of Time is basically, it's the same game. Like, it's modified for a different system, but it's still the same game. Warcraft is a vastly different game now than it was in vanilla.
True. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, I think this vanilla server is basically for those folks that love that nostalgia and want that experience. Like, that, there's a reason why people are still playing EVE Online. Not EVE Online. My apologies, EVE players. EverQuest. You know that
EverQuest.
That, you know, that 20-year-old MMO that people are still playing.
Yeah, those are not the same things.
No, and again, apologies, EVE players. But the, you know, that's the reason EverQuest 2 kind of like sunk, because they couldn't get people to stop playing EverQuest. Because when you play that game, when you play an MMO and you invest so much time in it, when it changes, it stops it for some people, it stops being what attracted you to it in the first place. But for newer games, like, oh man, this is much more accessible and I can do things that don't crash the server, and you know, it's really cool. So I can see both sides of the coin, but at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, it's illegal.
That's kind of really what that story just came down to, is like, it's Blizzard's property. As much as, you know, you're not necessarily hurting anyone, by doing it, you kind of might be hurting Blizzard and their long-term potential goals. So, I mean, in the end, if you're looking at it as 100,000 people who are potentially playing Warcraft but not on Blizzard servers, then is that 100,000 people who would be playing Warcraft on Blizzard servers if they didn't have the option of a vanilla WoW server?
Oh,
maybe, maybe not.
Revenue.
But yeah, exactly.
Like, so there's got to be even if it's just a little bit, there's some lost revenue. And maybe those 100,000 people now cancel their WoW subscriptions. I highly doubt that but
yeah, maybe they're just super pissed off and they were all playing Warcraft and now they're just like, grr, arg.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, it's this shows that, and this is one example of a private server existing. If Blizzard wants that lost revenue, then create this as a service. And I'm not saying it's as easy as flipping a number in a database. It's by far not that easy. I mean, they sold most of the servers that were running, or for charity, I think,
running
the old WoW servers.
Yeah, because I feel like either Scott or Patrick actually purchased their original vanilla server or something like that. Might have been Patrick, because I think Scott's been on Earthen Ring forever and ever.
Yeah, that thing still exists. I don't know.
We see, and I always feel so bad because I feel like I constantly talk about Blizzard stuff, but we do have a question in the Discord from Ventigo who says, will a WoW lore podcast be a thing? Does he mean from us or from Amove, or I don't know if Ventigo's actually in the Twitch chat right now, but
yeah, I don't know. Like, a WoW lore podcast is certainly something that's existed as a thing. Is it boring? Maybe. But can you make it exciting? That's the question.
Okay. Whoa.
That's
WoW
the question.
Lore is not boring.
I Warcraft didn't say lore WoW and the lore Warcraft was boring. I said a podcast solely, and this is a challenge, and I have not listened to any, but the WoW lore stuff that I have heard, people have a tendency to throw like the in music behind it and kind of like talk real slow like, and I think that's just that, but that's just it. WoW lore is exciting and you can make it really exciting, and I just haven't seen a good example of it. And for those listening getting very angry at me, and usually it's not me being negative, it's just other person, but this week, if you have some recommendations for a WoW lore podcast, that would be awesome. But I really do think that if there was a really great one, we would have heard of it. But I think that with WoW lore, I've heard, you know, snippets at the end of the instance that are interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I love WoW lore, and I think there's something there. And at least as like a primer to a new expansion coming out would be really cool. So right now is a very good time to get a WoW lore. But wasn't there a one-off WoW show that you did with Garrett? Like, when's that? Did you bring that back?
Yeah, we did. We did a one-off when they announced Legion. So, but no, I don't think we're bringing that back. But no. I do love lore. There are a lot of Warcraft just lore, whether they're actually podcasts or just one-off like lore episodes. Like, if you go to YouTube, you can find Warcraft lore all over the place. I do have plans to do a lore show, but it's going to be a video game lore show, not a specifically Blizzard. Like, there's so many super cool universes out there. I don't see any reason to kind of pigeon-toe myself into the Blizzard universe because there's just so much cool stuff. But Blizzard will obviously be tackled. StarCraft, probably not. Maybe Diablo. I don't know. I'm not a huge Diablo fan, so maybe not. But definitely Warcraft, definitely StarCraft. And then, there's all kinds of cool stuff out there. So it will be happening.
And that's the thing. Like I said, I think curated WoW lore content it would be awesome and work really well. So a lore show would work fantastically because there's a lot of franchises out there that deserve, you know, sort of a fine-tooth combing of looking at the lore there. But I think like a dedicated WoW one would get tough. I mean, you know, there's a lot to cover, but at what point do you get around to like talking about the lore of like Hogger. Oh, that would be a good episode. Golden foot shoulder or whatever.
I know what you mean. Like, although the thing is with Warcraft, the universe has been around for so long. There's so many different things that you could cover. I don't really think that you'd ever run out of content. Like, it's kind of one of the reasons that Hearthstone is going to have so much potential content and such longevity is because there's so much to pull from in the Warcraft universe. I mean, they made an entire expansion about the Grand Tournament, which is like one raid at the end of Lich King. Like, it's just, it's going to go on forever. And I feel like you could have a lore show about Warcraft that went on forever just because there's so much to pull from. Like, you could do 10-minute episodes and you could probably do like 20 10-minute episodes just on like Tyrande. Yeah. Like, you know, there's just the world has been around for so long. There's been so much happening, so many different wars, so many different rises and falls of different empires and different characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could literally go on forever on Warcraft lore. So right now in the chat room, Barbara is saying there's a guy on YouTube named Nobble, and she says that his stuff is really good and Swexus is agreeing. So I think it's Nobble87, N-O-B-B-E-L-87. So if you're interested in Warcraft lore, maybe go check that out. And
it looks good.
Oh, cool. And the lore stuff that I'm going to be doing is still a little bit down the road, but one of the things that I'm currently working on. So
cool.
Look for that soon-ish.
Hashtag
Blizzard soon. Yeah, Blizzard soon.
When it's done, when it's ready, it's ready.
And exactly.
I think that's the right way to do it. And I didn't mean to offend. I like WoW lore. Don't get me wrong. And I'm a lore nerd. Like, you want to talk about lore? Like, let's get into it. And if there is a franchise that you could do an entire show on, Warcraft would be one that would qualify. Like, checkmark. Yes,
definitely.
My apologies.
All right, so wanted to remind everyone that we have a game night coming up this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We actually did hit our goal, so we will be going back to our normal patron game night. Again, that is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. We wanted to take this time to thank our patron of the week, who is Stephen H. Thank you so much for your support. I'm pretty sure that's Swexus, who is in the chat right now, so thank you much for your support of the Gamers Inn. So if you'd like to support us and help us reach our next goal, which we are actually working on the pilot episode of Inside the Game, that is our $150 a week goal, which is basically unlocking more content for you. It's going to be a super, super cool show. I'm really excited about it. I've been working on some of the overlays and the art for it. So yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. You can head on over to patreon.com/thegamersinn. We got some listener feedback this week from ZBG on Twitter. Says, at Joss Plays, I just started watching The Gamers Inn, and I have to say, I love it. Disagree with your view on Pokemon. But great show. Thanks.
Jocelyn, why do you hate Pokemon?
I tweeted back at him, and I'm just like, you know, there are so many people who love Pokemon. I don't know why I don't gravitate. I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I just really, really, really want chat room or someone to email or hit me up on Twitter. Just like, tell me what the big secret is that I'm missing on Pokemon, because I love the TV show and I just never got into the games. And I love pet battles in Warcraft. So I don't know what it is about Pokemon, but I've just never been able to get into it the way that I feel like I should. So maybe there's some huge secret that I'm missing. I don't know. Chat room, he'll have to help me out.
I think it's maybe the structure of the game. Like, it's the random, it's got to be a combination of like the random battles that you get by walking in long grass. Like, I know that's one that kind of is a sore thumb for a lot of folks. And it's maybe the more the structure of the game, whereas you kind of slowly walk towards your next destination, whether that destination is being randomly spooked by a Pokemon or a trainer or walking into a room to talk about, earning a badge. Like, it's typical Nintendo fashion, where it's a game they designed 20 years ago and then they slowly like slap new stuff onto it as they go, and then you come out with a new Pokemon game and it's compared to the one that came out, it's still the same, it's still that 20-year-old design with some cool stuff band-aided onto it, you know. And I think that's one, you might be just smelling like the undercoat in there. It's not so fresh anymore.
Smelling the undercoat?
I tried my best to explain it without coming with a weird analogy. This is why people listen to the show, okay? I'm just keeping the listeners here with
okay.
Smelling the undercoat. Someone write that down. That's the title of the show.
No, that is not going to be that is not going to be the show title. No.
Well, then someone better come up with a better one.
It's got to be something about foxes or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's true. I guess something about foxes.
I don't know. Something.
Fox. I don't know.
Anyways, thank you very much for your feedback, guys. As always, hit us up on Twitter or emails or whatever your preferred mode of communication. I think that's pretty much going to do it for us this week. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about Ratchet and Clank or anything else we played this week, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.